You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong. When I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Safe and secure. Those are two words that mean a lot to all of us, especially during these perilous times. And we have the perfect guest to help us to think about these important issues. My name is Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. Welcome to our show, and I welcome our guest to our show. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
I'm the owner of Alpha Protection Systems. We're an electronic computer company and security installation company right here in Columbus, Ohio. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you, and I'm even better because you're here with us today. Thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here, Doctor. Looking forward to our conversation.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to this conversation because I want to talk about security. And okay. I want to talk about security in several ways.
Okay.
At first, I'd like to talk to you about what security means to you and what you do. But I'd like to think about ways that we can stay safe online,
mm-hmm.
stay safe in our lives, homes, businesses, property.
Yeah.
And I know you're an expert on that kind of security. So when I say security, what does that mean to you?
Well, security absolutely means protection from things unforeseen and even some that you can perceive that might happen. So to me, security means means of protecting yourself. And probably because I'm kind of technical, my degree is in electronics, I look for technical ways to solve a lot of these problems these days because the advances in technology and the flexibility and the ability to create situations that can improve your security. So when I think of security, because I've started in the alarm business, the first thing comes to mind, of course, is your basic protection of a home. And that's mm-hmm. how I actually started. I built some of the first alarm systems for myself. I actually had a break-in in my house years ago,
uh-huh.
and it was such a traumatic experience. It motivated me to stop building all the other fun things I was building in electronics, and I built my first alarm system. But after that, I began to realize that there's a lot of people that needed security, and I began to formulate my company, Alpha Protection Systems. And that's where we're at today.
Wow. Well, let's start there. What's the number one threat to our security in our homes?
Absolutely. In our homes, probably the number one threat is not so much someone that's breaking in when we're there. It typically tends to be when you're away from home.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals have to take advantage of the fact that you've left your home or maybe mistakenly informed people that you're not at your home. That's that's the interesting tie-in with today's social media. You know,
mm-hmm.
everybody likes everything that they're doing and when they're doing it and when they're going to be back. And without recognizing that there are other individuals that are spending their waking hours looking for that information and then looking for weaknesses to get in your home. So when I think about the number one thing, I think everyone's home should be as secure as you can afford to make it. You know,
mm.
and that's mm-hmm. at all levels. You know, we've seen a few things in the news that kind of had me baffled, you know, when Speaker Polanski's husband was attacked in their home. Because I'm technical, I immediately wondered about the level of electronic security they
right.
would have had at that
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because the equipment that we installed could have easily prevented and protected that, and at minimum had authorities on their way instantly to give that man assistance. So
yeah.
that's kind of where my mind goes when I think about that, Dr. Karima.
I'm really impressed with that kind of thinking, because I think we've all seen some scary, just like the news story you just mentioned, a man lost an election and started shooting into people's homes. I mean, we've all seen some really scary news stories, and yet I'm amazed at how many people really do post on social media that they're not home right now. You know, like they're not home. They post, oh, I'm out here, I'm doing this, I'm not home, or that they're by themselves at home. I see posts like that, you know, just relaxing at home. And I'm like, oh, come on, honey, you know, especially for ladies, you know, don't tell them you're home alone. So, absolutely. And yet these same people lock their car doors.
Yes.
What's the disconnect? Why can't we get it together?
That's so interesting, Dr. Kareem. I can only imagine that we don't want to live our lives sitting around worrying about everything every 5 seconds. So I'm sure that we all disconnect when we feel like we're safe enough. And I don't want to encourage people to be like totally paranoid.
Right, right.
But you just have to use a certain level of vigilance and recognize that, like, you know, we have this saying in the Black community, Black Lives Matter. That's really not 100% true to everybody. So when you hear something like that, it's a really good feel-good thing to hear that. But the reality of it is, not to everybody do all any lives matter. So I think it starts there. You've got to find a level of a balance. Maybe that's the better word for it. Of not being too paranoid where you can't move or live your life. But at the same token, those things that you can put into place to make things a little safer for you and your loved ones, you got to do, including conversations. Some of it, Dr. Kareema, is just conversations with the young people around, warn them that everybody that you're talking to online that you can't really verify with the receipt may not be who you think they are. I know you get, just like I do, constantly I'm barraged with individuals. They try to make this fake phone call to you. You'll get a message that goes, hello, is this Rick? And I'm like, hey. You know, right off the bat, this is someone fishing, trying to pull you into something. And so without, you know, overreacting to that, I typically just give a couple of short answers and I move on, you know.
Right, right. So let's talk a little bit about that. And we were going to talk about all of this because you're an expert. But how do we start? Let's start with our homes, our cars, our safety in the real world. I think sometimes people think they can't afford to do anything, or that it's so hard or just overwhelming that they just don't do anything. Or they depend upon things that, you know, my granddaddy used to say, a lock only stops an honest man. You know? And they think, oh, well, I have locks. I have a lock on the door. I have a lock on the front door, you know, or whatever. And yet, if you want to get in a room, you can get in the door, but you can also get in the window. You know, you can also get other ways in if you want to really get in someplace. So how can we have some practical advice from you about how to keep ourselves just a little bit safer in real life?
Your granddad was very correct. The locks typically stop the honest people, because a criminal is going to find a way in. Mm-hmm. And to help people not be so paranoid, typically these are not professionals. You know, sometimes commercials make you think these are professionals, but a lot of times these are kids or opportunists. And it's really a strange thing that sometimes 70 to 80% of the time, the person that breaks into your home has been in your home before.
Wow.
You can kind of see that, and you can see the kind of things people go directly to and take out of the homes. You know, it would take a lot of nerve to be going down the street in a neighborhood you've never been in before, in a home you've never been in, and just decide, well, I'm going to go into that one. So on the practical side, look at the people around you and your young people's friends. If you have young people in the house, I know my parents always, I could feel them taking a really close look at people I brought home.
Yeah.
And I also, of that scrutiny when I visited their homes from their parents. They would spend a minute talking to you or watching how you operate it. So those are some practical things that don't take a lot of money to do. And then the next thing is to spend time talking with your children and even yourself. If you're the kind of Facebook guy, person that likes to tell everybody everything that's going on, you need to really think before you post, you know, because if the wrong eyes see that, then there could be consequences. So those are the practical matters without spending a lot of money. You just have to kind of not open the door yourself, you know, or leave the barn doors open. You know, you just don't do that. And that might take a family every now and then taking time to sit down and just have a conversation about it. Our family did that when we were growing up.
Right. I love that because that's something to me that even the families that homeschool could have a unit about that or have a discussion about that even as part of their children's education. And the families that are, you know, at the family dinner table could have a conversation about that. It's very doable. It can be done, and it's not a hardship.
No.
One other thing I see, and I'm learning this from you and your wisdom, is the intersection between safety in real life and online.
Yes.
Is there a huge connection between that?
Very, very big because of the nature of the society we live in. We live in a capitalistic society, which has got a lot of good things and some bad things. But what happens in capitalism, people look for opportunities to make money in a transaction, take advantage. And that one saying that they say always, buyer beware, that's everywhere. And everybody wants to turn you into a buyer, even if you're not thinking about buying. You see that with everything you do online. If you go to YouTube, had a fun video, the next thing you know, somebody's stopping what you're looking at, and they're hitting you with a minute or 2 minute trying to sell you. And I try to train the young people around me, including my own grandkids and nephews and nieces, that you need to pay attention when someone's trying to take advantage of you with maybe a sales technique that's all hype. You know, you need to learn to be able to discern between that which is truly an opportunity and then that which is maybe a pet rock or a hoax or someone telling you. I hate to see the young people today so caught up in Nike tennis shoes. You know, they're so caught up in it that it's not normal, and it certainly to me is not healthy. And so those are discussions to me that need to happen in the home. I know when we were growing up, there's no way in the world I could have convinced my father to buy us a pair of Nikes at the prices that they are. And we were happy with the shoes that we got. And I think we need to get back to some of that, Dr. Karima, because everything that shines is not gold. And so if you want to protect yourself from some of that, you have to not let the world think that you're quickly or easily excited by things that flash or you know, catch your attention or glitter. And without making it too complicated, I think it starts there, you know, with your perceptions on what's important.
Well, not everyone who smiles at you is your friend.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's one thing that social media has convinced us to do is let down our guard.
Yeah.
And I don't mean, you know, I mean guard your heart. I don't mean you have to be rude and have no friends. I just mean that we just because somebody has a photo and they look like a nice person, it doesn't even mean that they're the person behind it.
How about that? How about that?
That's
so true.
How do we, I mean, I understand that, you know, we want to have fun in life. We want to enjoy our lives. We're not trying to be Grinch people here and tell you never have any social media or never have any fun. But recently on social media, I have seen, in preparation for this conversation, I saw someone who is a very intelligent person, a very wise young lady with a college degree, post her new home. The address was clearly visible.
Wow.
And I thought, now a criminal knows that you have a brand new home with new furniture and that you live in it by yourself. And that is, I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. And it was a public post. It wasn't just so friends and family could see it. It was so anyone could see it. And I saw another young lady do the same thing, another smart, good job, terrific young woman.
Yeah.
But she posted everything she got for Christmas.
Wow.
And I, you know, she got a beautiful tennis bracelet, and she got a few nice things. And I thought, oh no, you just gave a criminal an inventory list, you know, like, and that's scary to me. That really is, because, you know, we want you to have fun on social media, but we also want you to stay safe in real life.
Yeah.
So help us find that balance a little bit more.
Well, I think one good thing, Dr. Karima, is shows like you're doing right now, you just had me thinking about this, a new show out called Parent Test. And it's probably, been, I don't know if you've seen that. It's so interesting because you see different parent styles trying to solve the problem of parenting. And as you were just talking, I said, wow, this almost sounds like one of those shows. It would be super interesting to hear people talk about how they attempt to, because that's what I think you're going to see, a lot of different levels, a lot of different approaches to control this, but I think the discussion itself would be helpful to everyone, because I'm sure a lot of people that are on Facebook haven't even thought twice about posting that information, especially like you say, these are people that are of higher intellect, and you know they know better, but it's just this innocence that we have, you know, until we don't, until someone does something awful to us, and then sometimes you go to the other extreme. Then I have some people, they will not use technology or anything. They just think it's all bad. So that balance comes from shows like yours, where we're having these healthy discussions, where people can say what it is they're doing, even if it's a mistake, without us being extremely judgmental, you know, but about it. I have had some really enjoyable discussions with seniors because I do the computer repair also, and of course that's where security is very important.
Yes.
And it's kind of how they will allow someone to call them on their phone, call them by their name, interrupt the day, and start giving them instructions on what they need to do. Get me this account. For me, the very first the phone call ought to have respect in it from the moment it starts.
That's
if someone calls me that doesn't know me, they need to not be calling me by my first name. That's the first. I recognize that someone that calls me John that doesn't know me, I feel immediately they're trying to disarm me. So I teach seniors, take charge of you, number one. They should deal Mr. or Mrs. And then the next thing I think they should ask is, hey, are you busy? Do you have a few moments?
Right.
Dr. Kareem, if I don't get those two items from you when you call me, it's probably about to be a bad phone call for you. Because
right. And I'm really glad you said that, because I'm immediately thinking that also, some of our young ladies need to think like that too. I mean, if a guy is on your messages on social media or calling you on your phone that you don't know, he shouldn't be flirting with you. He shouldn't be familiar with you. He doesn't know you like that.
There you go. And those are the signs that your brain has the ability to help you filter and make better. Like you said earlier, you don't have to be rude or anything. And I normally, when that happens to me on the phone, I ask them, like, you know, you really don't know me, and you're calling me first name. I said, you're not even aware, am I busy or not?
Right.
And I say to them, it seems like you're on an agenda that you don't care what I'm doing. It's like you need whatever it is you need, I just don't feel like you care about me. And so, you know, this call has to end, and then you end that call and move on with your life.
That's right. And see, that is the beauty of it. When I think when you're informed, you know, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. So when you're informed about how to handle these things, then they don't take over your life. You know, I would rather be a little bit rude to somebody than have to spend all day canceling my debit card and trying to get my money back and trying to find out who this hacker is. You know, I would rather err on the side of caution.
I'm with you, dear. I'm exactly with you, doctor, because if you allow that to happen, the mess that comes afterward can be so expensive and sometimes devastating. I had two customers within this last month, and one was my niece. She lost about $1,500. She got it back. And then the other was a customer that lost $5,000. Got it back. And how did this happen? Both of them were talking to me, and they both had their computers. And the first question I'll ask them, and for all your listeners, if you have this program that the young people play, what's the name of the, I have a young man in my office. What's the name of that program you guys like to play so much? Roblox. It's called Roblox.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of parents think that Roblox is 100% innocent, and it is not. What Roblox is, it's a two-way communication tool. And so the person on the other end, if you talk to them long enough, they can actually get some access to a control of your computer. So that's these cases here. And the seniors are so unaware. The one customer said to me, he's not on my computer now, and he might have only done that once a long time ago. And I have to explain to both of them, if they've ever been on there one time, they're going to be on there forever, because they plant seeds on their computer that allowed them to stay there. And some are innocent, you know, some are just innocently on there, maybe being nosy to see what you're going to buy this or buy next. But the ones that are ruthless, all they need to do now is when you're sleeping or whatever, get a look at your checking account.
Yeah.
Look at yours now. And I think that's what happened to the one lady. I think they actually made a set of checks for her account and then just went to cash it. It's that easy. And then they both, this Roblox is out on their computer. So, of course, the time I look at it, I'm like, there's Roblox. It's right there. Well, delete it. It's not as simple as deleting it, you know, what the consumer does. You need a professional like myself or a computer company to actually erase that entire computer and then just restart that Windows in order to get that junk off of there. So, yeah, this show is sharing that kind of information because people just don't know it.
Right.
And I don't know. I've seen that people don't think Roblox is a problem or don't think it's on their computer. It's almost 100%. If they got young people around them, I'm like, the moment you go away in the next 2 minutes, Roblox is on your computer.
Right. And see, this is the kind of information that helps us stay safe and stay ahead of people who are literally staying up all night long trying to figure out how to not work and take your money.
There you go. All night long. They're really working hard at it. It's their job. This is what they're doing.
Right.
And works because they keep trying. I know they get annoyed with me, probably yourself, because I'm pretty rude. I shut them down quickly, but they don't mind that. You know, you get a 20 no's and two yeses, that's probably a good day for a hacker, you know?
Right. No, that's a great point. So how do we keep ourselves safe? See, it seems like the wonderful benefits of technology. You know, we love technology. We want you to have technology, but we're having this show so that you are not harmed by technology, our friends that are listening. So please give us some insights and advice into how we can avoid being scammed. How can we protect ourselves?
Well, I think one thing, since we brought the young people into it, I would always have a computer that's separate from my computer I use for my business or things that are important that I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would put them young people on a computer that only they're on, and they can do whatever craziness they want to do. And it's kind of like in the family where you have your nice car and you got a car that the kids can bump around in if they want to go somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
You don't know everybody to use their main equipment. And then the other thing, you do have to have a conversation, explain to them. I have done it with young people that you don't know who you're talking to, and they kind of give you that. I'm like, how do you know it's not an adult? And, of course, I give them a chance to answer that question, and, of course, they don't.
They don't.
And so once you get something, and then the next thing, you have to, in your whole family, you have to let people know whenever you get a chance to explain that there are a lot of great people in the world, you know, a lot of good people in the world that will do all kind of good things for you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a percentage of people that are not that great. And so you need to, as quickly as can, recognize them and protect yourself. I do that with the young people around me all the time when we're riding. Me and the young man in the office right now, we went out to return some items. And as we went from one place to the other, I tried to make him open your eyes and pay attention to what's going on around you. Just don't walk through like you're in a video game, you know, where nothing bad can gonna happen to you. Not saying something's gonna bad happen to you, but pay attention to what people are doing. And those teachable moments are always there, Doctor. They're always there. And so we had a great visit getting things done. You know, I allow young people to go into the post office, and if they've never done that before and experienced that, and I ask questions. You know, some of the things that you think are obvious, I asked a young man today, I said, do you know what a receipt is? And for a moment, he couldn't give me a clear answer. I said, that receipt is absolute proof that you've done something. I said, you're hearing people on social media using that word now when they tell you, I got the receipts on you.
Yeah.
Telling you I've got the actual evidentiary proof. And I'm like, is that the same as verbal proof? And he pauses for a moment. I said, no. People can be misunderstood or wasn't paying attention. But when you pull out that paper receipt, or that digital receipt, now you know where you're at. So I would advise your listeners to always look for receipts. If someone calls you and you're not sure it really is the gas company or whatever, you ask them immediately. Or you hang up and say, let me call you right back.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody with a bogus number, you will never be able to call them back. And they're not going to want you to call them back. And so there's some little easy tests that we can do. And like you pointed out, it might be just a tad bit rude. But those honest people are going to understand that. They're going to understand that your reluctance to be forthright and giving up all of my account information. They're going to understand, hey, I'm going to need to call you back because I'm not sure this number you're calling me on, you know, because anyone can get a fake phone number these days. That's so easy.
Yeah.
Kids can do it. So,
right. And that's good. That's really important. I'm so glad you're saying that. Two things I want to amplify from what you said. Okay. I want to say this for our young people, especially who listen. I know, you know, we have all ages of listeners, and we love you.
Great.
But our young people, but also people of color.
Yes.
Well, you know, most of our friends are indigenous that listen. And
yes.
I want to throw this out here. Receipts might save your life.
Save your life.
Because a receipt will prove that you didn't shoplift it.
There you go.
A receipt will prove that you didn't steal it, that you paid good money for it. And, you know, my godson has some nice things, and I tell him, you put the receipt from this in your wallet.
Oh, now.
And keep it. I mean, well, you're not going to return it. No, we're not going to take it away. But if anybody ever asks you if that's your iPhone or your Apple, you know, earbuds, you can prove that someone purchased those.
Right
and
now.
That might be the difference between you having an encounter with someone that maybe that it won't be a good ending. You know,
you
didn't steal it. You didn't take it. You have a receipt on it. And I think that's super important to point out. The other thing I really want to amplify from what you just said, parents, we love you. And we know, my goodness, we love our children so much, and we think they're the cutest things, and we love them. Please stop posting them on social media.
Hello.
Please, I beg you. I know. It's hard for me. Oh, my goodness. I have withdrawals sometimes. I'm like, look how cute my baby is. No, I can't do it. But don't post, you know, their jersey number and the school they play for. Here's my baby on the first day of school, and the school is visible, you know. And young ladies, please be careful what you post on social media.
Great
please.
Advice.
Please.
Great advice. I love that advice. Given their doctor. When you put the kids out there, you're almost like advertising to people that don't have good intentions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I even agree. I'll go so far as to say I wouldn't dress them like little adults. I would.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
please don't.
Babies be babies, and don't market them, because most people might look at it and go, oh, cute baby, but there's a small percentage of people out there that may become obsessed with your little one. I'm glad we're saying out loud, and once again, I hope on that other show I was telling about that parent test that came out on that show. At one time, the parents were thinking that their kids would not open the door to strangers, and that was a shocking episode on how they picked up and opened that door.
Wow!
Oh, my parents that it happened to, they were so in shock that one parent left the show. It just took him out. But these are great conversations. I think shows like yours, and maybe in the future there'll be a lot more shows like this where people can understand how to live as opposed to getting so caught up in the virtual world. I think there needs to be more clarity with that also about this virtual world. You know, I'm a little older than you, so the cartoons, the Bugs Bunnies and the Daffy Ducks, I could tell that those were cartoons.
Mm-hmm,
but the cartoons these babies are looking at, if I walk in the front room and I look at that TV, I have to stop a moment ago. Is that a cartoon or is it a real creature? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because the movements and the gestures are so like a real human being. So I think there are going to have to be more shows that help people distinguish between the virtual world and the real world. I never thought I'd say that out loud.
Right, but I'm really glad you are saying it. I'm happy you're saying it, because that's really what's happening when people get catfished. Like someone puts together a scam that is so elaborate, and the website looks just like the gas company website, and you pay your bill to it, but it's not. Or it looks just like Amazon, but it's not Amazon.com, it's Amazon.com.com, you know? And And so the virtual world is very invested. Even people who have profiles on dating apps or social media, they're very invested in looking like real, accessible, nice, kind people, because those are the only ones that have access to victims.
Yes. And those are great points. And once again, sometimes you need to hear someone say that out loud in a forum where you're able to question it in case you don't believe it in the first place, and then have that exchange going back and forth so you can find out exactly where that truth lives at. Because, what you just said is very true. There are a lot of people right now that are invested in tricking us out of things, even in a nice way. You know, a lot of commercials, sometimes they over-exaggerate, and they're telling you how great it's going to make you look and how great it's going to change your life. You know, you have to have enough intelligence and friends and good people around you. I always tell people, I have some people around you that are not afraid to tell you no.
Right.
A group of people, because if everybody around you agrees with everything you bring them, it's going to be hard to get that blade sharp, you know, because of pushback. So I think you need to have a mixture of friends that you can have healthy discussions, because the world is changing so fast.
Yes, right. And I think there's a really important point that you're making here, too, that, you know, we always think of money as the most important currency. But personally, I'm starting to think attention is pretty powerful, too. And so why are they giving you this product for free?
About that.
Why are they letting you use hours and hours and hours of this social media platform without any cost to you? Because if there's no cost, then maybe you're the product.
How about that? I love that point you just made. One of the great tools they use on the internet is they'll tell you free, free, free. They always use free. And the point you just made, people think, well, all I have to give them is my email. Well, that's not free. The moment you have your email, it's not free. And I remind people, if I'm on the internet and I see something they say free, you better not ask me for my email. Because I no longer don't trust you anymore, and I know you're alone. It's really free. I don't have to give you anything. You start using it right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of companies that are major, I'm going to might as well talk about it. It's a major company. You'll hear the big, because I'm in security, and I used to have to compete against the ADT companies. They would tell the customers, free alarm system. Get this free alarm system. So when I first started my company, I was like, how are they doing that? Mm-hmm. How can you give away an alarm system that even might cost a company $800, $900 free? So finally, over time, I realized they were financing the alarm system.
Oh. And
they wouldn't say that to you out front, but once you call them in real life, they run you through their financial check. If your credit is decent, well, you're not getting an alarm system free. You're going to get a bill that's going to be for 36 months or whatever it is, the 5 years or whatever, and then you get the alarm system as long as you pay that bill. Because to me, free would be I call you up and say, drop off the box at my front door and I got a free alarm system. But this is the world we live in, and once again, shows like yours and that's got to be discussed out loud so people can get that shock that happens when you go, wow, I didn't think about that, you know, because I used to argue with my customers, not much, when they would say it was free. I said, it's really not free. And they would look at me like, well, as far as I'm concerned, it's free because all I have to do is start paying this monthly payment. And I'm like, wow, that's fantastic. If I had to go back to school, I have an engineering degree right now, I would go back for marketing. I find it fascinating. It's kind of the art of lying, kind of.
It's interesting because you're creating a reality, which we just said, you know, you're talking about the thin line between AI, artificial intelligence, is really powerful right now. And then the thin line between virtual reality and then real life, you know. And I see one other thing happening that I couldn't wait to tell you, to discuss with you, because I knew you'd have a great opinion about this. Yeah. But I feel like some of this virtual reality is actually making us ungrateful and unhappy and discontent. Like before, you saw somebody and they were a nice person and they looked nice and that's all there was to it. Now people are filtered, models are, you know, they're photoshopping people and everybody looks perfect. And it's really easy then to start thinking there's something wrong with you. Or, you know, maybe your family lives in a nice house, but everybody on Instagram has a much bigger house, you think. And then you find out that they're using filters, you know, to put a big house behind them, So what do you think about that?
Oh, I think that's a great observation, because that's what happens. People exaggerate on purpose. And like you say, when you finally get a chance to look behind the closed doors, it's nothing like what they project. They're not as happy as they claim they are. Things are not as fantastic. And I agree with you. I like the original, the older world when you had problems, but you see people solve the problems, you know, and these people were for whatever small amount they had to share. Those create a more real closeness. And I think you're right. I think we're losing the fact of real value is in relationships. We're missing that. And I think that's I don't want to call it a product, but that is so important to have great relationship with good people that you can work with. And I think that we're losing that right now. And we're beginning to not trust anybody if we're not careful, because you almost can't trust. Every time you look up, someone's got their hand in your pocket, or it feels like it. So that's bad to me. I hope that the world doesn't fall away apart like that. So there'll be young people that'll never enjoy some of the things that we enjoyed, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. And I want to ask you, because it's important, you know, with these relationships, these people that are genuine and true in our lives, are there ways that we can use technology to strengthen healthy relationships?
Wow, that's a good question. You got me thinking for a second. I believe so. I believe like when you can make contact with people remotely, because I use like remote contact with my computer. It's just a tool. And this same tool I use where I could like reach your computer wherever you're at in the world, and I could help you solve a problem or teach you how to use it, can also be used to do bad things. So it's really how we use the tools. I would, not the tool itself. It's not the computer itself is bad. It's really how we use it. And so once again, I think that's where we need more spiritual help, you know, when you look at people's decisions like that, because technology by itself would probably kill us in a very short period of time, because it's technology and it doesn't care about our feelings. It doesn't care about anything but what the algorithm behind it has programmed it to do. I don't know if you have heard of this open AI. That's for me, I just heard about it within the last 3 weeks or so. Have you open AI? They've got a site now where you can go to this site and actually use an AI computer to solve or write any problem that you have.
Yeah.
And they created it by telling it to make a cartoon or a painting, and they named a bunch of crazy things like a cat flying on an airplane, dragging an alligator or whatever. And in a few minutes, the algorithm goes together, finds any of that stuff all over the internet, and it puts several of those things together.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have it make a bomb or whatever you want to have it make, but to answer your question, you could also use it to do good things. And so I don't want to only highlight those negative things that have been happening, but I'm sure there are many people who are engaging with OpenAI and are going to do good things. So I think the key is we need to get back more to our spiritual understanding of life that we're living, and not letting the technology rule everything. I don't think we're going to want to live in a world where computers and robots make all the decisions. I think I'd much prefer a real police officer than a robot that rolls up on me and looks at me and goes, "Listen, you're coming with me," or, you know, but.
I agree. I think this is powerful.
And we're going to have to make these decisions because the technology is not stopping. It is growing.
Right. And we're going to have to make some decisions, too, in terms of critical thinking and teaching values to our young people.
Absolutely.
You know, because they'll have even more. They're going to see a world that we wouldn't have even thought possible. So we're going to have to prepare them even when they're little, you know, to be able to separate truth from fiction, and to be able to have values of kindness and humility, and also be able to have critical thinking. That's not real. This is real. This person loves me. This person is just online, you know, and we have to make a concerted effort, I think, to prepare our young people for this world to come. When we come back from commercial, we're going to talk about another kind of security, and I can't wait to hear what you think. We'll be right back.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute. They told us we had an oil shortage. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Jess.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing, because I can't hear it and dogs are supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station. We are strong, and we'll get through this together. But these are stressful times. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, and know that you are not alone. Visit WeAreBroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Presenting great moments in the history of 1-800-FED-INFO. For years, Americans have turned to 1-800-FED-INFO for government information. Make your own great moment. Call 1-800-FED-INFO. It's government made easy.
Silent,
and your government saves her. Better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, and never look back once the war forgave.
What a great conversation we are having. Oh, my goodness. I'll ask our guest, would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
I'm the owner of Alpha Protection Systems. We're an electronic computer company and security installation company right here in Columbus, Ohio. And we've got over 50 years of business, and we can help you with your electronic security needs, cameras, door alarms, as well as we can help you with your computer needs, reloading your software, cleaning it for viruses, things of that nature. And we attempt to also work with young people to teach those this technology also. So that's who we are.
Perfect. And how would someone contact you? They might have a virus on their computer or just want to ask them questions about your security system for their home. How would they get in touch with you?
Absolutely. You can reach us by phone at 614-236-3310, or you can reach us by email with at alphaprotection@yahoo.com.
Perfect.
And
okay.
And the shop is, I'd get the shop address.
Sure.
If you want to start, is going to be 1041 East Hudson, and that's right here in Columbus, Ohio.
All right, y'all, you heard that. That is so helpful. Thank you so much. There's another kind of security that I'm really excited to discuss with you, and it's the security that comes from knowing who you are and that the life you are living is the life that you want to live and are meant to live. And when you mentioned 50 years of stable, established, professional business, we have so many people who are working at a job that they hate or don't know what they want to do with their lives.
Okay.
And yet you found your path early in life and you have walked on it in a good way. And now you're prospering and you're mentoring others and you're helping people and your business is going well. There's a security in that. And so you're a great person for us to talk about that. How did you find your life path?
Yeah, the irony of that is that someone broke into my house is how I actually got into security. And I had a skill set that allowed me to solve that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think your listeners should look at, if you're trying to find your purpose or where it is, maybe look to be a problem solver. That's how it kind of... But once I solved that problem, I built the first couple of alarm systems, and I also paid attention to when I got broken into on how emotionally disturbing it was. I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Mm.
All my smell and sight were heightened. I could actually smell that they had leather coats on when they were in my house.
Ugh.
But I took that energy, and I began to realize, I'm like, you know, you could build an alarm system. I'd built a lot of different things, and I built one for myself. So I would tell your listeners that, find what you enjoy, and I enjoy building in electronics and designing and experimenting. And if you can find that joy and then kind of follow that path, it should take you to good places. I think I heard a philosopher, I can't quote it quite like he was explaining it, but he said that you're successful, and I guess you have a certain level of security the moment you kind of decide what it is you want to do with your life. He compared it to a sailor on a ship. And he said, if a sailor gets on a ship for a long voyage, he's expecting and accepting that he's going to get to his destination by doing the correct things every day. And
wow.
He said for about 80% of that trip, he might not see any horizon, but he believes that without some unforeseen thing happening to him, that he's going to eventually look up and on that horizon will be his destination. So in his attitude, he was like, the moment you kind of decide what it is you want to do and commit to it, he says you're successful. He says, as opposed to, and he used the number of 80% or 90% of people who basically get in a ship with no rudder and allow the wind to blow them wherever.
Right.
Like, wow. And it had me to think about myself for a while. I'm like, and even if I haven't made a bunch of money or anything like that, I have a peace of mind just by doing what I enjoy doing. And the freedoms that come along with that, I was able to do things with my mother. She lived to be 103 years old.
Praise God.
I was doing my own thing when she needed me for her to stay with me for a while. I was able to easily do that or go and take her where she needed to be to get help. And that has to do with the decision I made. And with support of family, I will always say that before I stepped out to start my alarm business, there was fear. I was afraid I'd be working at laboratories, and I really was afraid that if I told my dad, I was going to quit Bell Telephone Laboratories and start my own company. I thought he might go like, are you crazy? Why would you do that? But instead, my country dad said, and it was so true, he said, you're going to learn a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that to me, Dr. Karima. I was like, wow, I didn't expect that. And really, that's been the truth. I've learned so much. And I would say to your listeners, you know, you want to be practical, you know, you want to pick something that you truly enjoy, that you're really going to be committed to. And I am committed to electronics and technology. And I think it'll work out okay for you. I think you'll have a decent life.
Such wisdom, really, such good advice. And what about those moments, you know, when it is stormy? We're talking about making a ship voyage. Sometimes the winds get kind of rough and the seas get kind of stormy. What do you do to make it through those moments?
Well, those are the teachable moments. You know, once again, you're a problem solver. So when the things come to you, the best thing to do, you got two choices. You can panic, throw your hands up and run around in a circle, or you can do, as my mom always said, the next best thing. So I immediately, when I see a problem, it excites me because I'm like, I can come up with a solution. It happens every day, it seems like. So we draw on that that's within us, the spiritual powers that are in us. And the next thing you know, you see different ways of dealing with the problem. You might not solve it 100%, but if you can make it 50% better, you've made an improvement. You know, and every now and then you'll make it 100% better, and don't mess around and get lucky and invent something new. So I think you've got to begin to look at problems, and sometimes those teachable moments that come up. And you'll begin to thank God for them, because there are many times I've been able to help people around me because I recognize that there's a teachable moment. And if you can use it correctly, people grow from it. You can grow from it. So I kind of look at life like that. You know, I don't think all success in business is in riches, things of that nature also. I think there's some subtle successes in there, because even the level of stress, I don't work so hard. I'm chasing money so bad that my health is impaired. You know, there's several work in business, and I've never really worked at it quite like that. I was more open to having the freedom to kind of do what I like to do at the level I like to do it at. So I would share that as my perspective. You know, if that works for you, you're welcome to take that spin. If you have questions, you've got my number and my contact. You can ask me, and I'd be happy to talk to your listeners and let them understand my perception of that.
So generous. I appreciate that insight. I really do, and that offer is beautiful. You make a lot of decisions as you solve problems, as you evaluate systems, and as you try to create solutions. You have a lot of decisions you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make a good decision?
I think a good decision, first, you need to be honest about those things that you know and those things that you don't know. I try to teach all the young people that are around me right now. If you get to a place where you really don't know, that's not a super negative thing. It's you need to acknowledge that you need some assistance. And so for me, I've always sought those answers. When I worked at Bell Laboratories, I can remember when I was first had got a scholarship to go to Columbus State, and I reached a couple of places where I didn't quite understand the circuits in front of me or the schematics. So I was at Bell Laboratories. I figured there's a lot of smart people here.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doors of different engineers, and a couple of them said no. But eventually I hit one and go like, yeah, sit down, young man. And I sit down, and, you know, the rest is history. You know, people take time and explain it to you. There are great teachers in life, and there's teachers that are not so great. But I would like to tell your listeners, when you mess around and you get in touch with one of those great teachers, you might want to stay close. So there's nothing like a great mentor or a great teacher. That's probably been the most successful things. And you never forget those people. My electronics teacher, I had him all through high school for all 3 years, and so he shaped my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I became his top student. I wasn't necessarily thinking I was going to be his top student, but by doing my best and enjoying what I was doing, when the scholarship became available to work at Bell Labs, he overrode the counselors who I didn't have much to do with. I didn't talk to counselors at the school that often, but he stepped in and he gave me the opportunity to choose working at Ohio Bell, the operating system part of the phone company, or Bell Labs, the research and development. And of course, being the that I believe myself to be, I chose Bell Laboratories. And it was really good decision. So,
sure, absolutely. And what do you do with a decision that doesn't work? For example, maybe you tried a certain security program, or you thought this was going to be the way to move forward with this repair, and it doesn't work.
Oh, no problem. I take the good out of that. You know, whenever you do anything, there's normally some good and some bad.
Sure.
And then you turn it and you move on. you know, and that's the best way, because I normally found it by, you know, I have a tendency of sometimes I want to work on things a little longer trying to solve it. But you reach a point when it's time to turn that loose and move on to the next. And so I think you grow into that as you're trying your business experience. You begin to understand how much time to be beating a dead horse. You know, if a thing is just not going to work, it might be time to move on. So that's a balance. It's probably not an exact science, but you just have to trust. And then, and once again, be truthful with yourself, how important that thing is. And I think you'll be able to come to a decent decision on whatever problems are in front of you. There's typically solutions all around you. If they're not around you immediately, you're probably only a few people away from finding that very solution that you need. And I think that the universe will reward you if you're seeking, as opposed to if you just give up or running around in circles. But I think if you're seeking, you'll find a solution. And once again, there's typically more than one solution to any and every problem.
That's right. And I think that's super important. I think otherwise we get kind of an information paralysis, and that's why people don't act on anything. Like they've seen so much, or they've watched 2,000 YouTube videos, and they've seen tons and tons of stuff, and then they're just like overwhelmed. They don't know what to do, so they do nothing. And
right.
I love your perspective on it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very much. There's one other thing you mentioned, and I think this is so powerful. I mean, in life, you can make mistakes or you can have mentors.
Go ahead.
And I really believe, I think about my mentors and the way that they helped to shape my career, and I'm so grateful, just absolutely grateful. And I think we need to help our listeners to know two things. First of all, you need mentors all your life.
Yes.
Like, you know, I thought I knew a lot until I became a mom. I know nothing. You know, so all the moms and grandmas and aunties and all of you ladies, thank you so much. I mean, because, and so at all stages in your life, if you grow, if you learn and keep going forward, you're going to need some kind of mentoring. So how do we identify good mentors and build relationships with them?
I think you, if you're a curious person, they're going to be the people that try to answer some of those questions that are dogging you. And that's how I identify great mentors. I ask a question, and if the people respond like, hey, get, like kind of don't annoy me, I'm bothered, then I understand that might not be a great match as a mentor. But if I have someone that says, sit down and let me explain it to you, or the next time they call you, or they have an article or something that they text or sent to you, I'd say you've latched onto a good mentor. In my electronic class when I was a young person, the teacher could tell that I was just super interested. And he would give us challenges, and I didn't play in his class. I tried to respect him as being my mentor, and he saw that. He said to me in them last days when he overrode the counselor who had chose two other students in the class, who happened to be white kids. He never used race. He never used that word at all. He said, you're my best student. He said, I don't know why the counselor chose these two students. He said, and he actually picked another friend who was a person of color. He said, and Willie is really good also. He says, but he plays a little bit much in the class. And so he gave me the choice. And I think that the mentors and the mentees kind of choose each other. You know, I've got some young people that I had mentored, and I'm so proud of them. I'll be out in public, and I hear somebody screaming, oh, that's my mentor. That's my mentor. That happened the other day when I was downtown. And I looked over and saw a young man who was more in a shell at one time. And I looked at him, and he had a group of young people around him. And he was kind of like the leader. And I was teaching him back in the day how to repair computers. And it's always funny when they kind of apologize. Well, listen, you know, I didn't really study exactly what you did, but I got my degree in. And I'm like, that's better than what I was showing you, but it's just kind of funny that you motivate people find their own way. I always let them know that's what I really wanted you to do. Find your own way. You don't need to be me or do exactly what I did, but be motivated to find your own way. So I would keep my eyes open for mentors whenever you can find them. If somebody offers to mentor you, you ought to respect it and embrace it. I'll say one other quick thing. When you talk, you reminded me of a young lady that I dated, that she tried to, when she bought things for her kids, she had three of them, she would buy them the exact same thing all the time. Hmm. And everybody, so what that caused the kids to begin to do is they begin to look at each other in kind of contempt to make sure you didn't get a little bit more. I thought that was so interesting. Mm-hmm. When I look at the way I grew up, we all got different things. Sometimes one got more, some got less, or you got to use one or not. And that we're very close. And I just, I just throw that out as for whatever it's worth. I thought that was interesting that the young lady was trying to be fair by buying them all the exact same thing. And the result was kind of the opposite. They're not close today. Those children are not close. So sometimes I think the disparities are the things that are not, they don't always seem fair. If you can work through them, they build character. They build relationship. You begin to learn that you don't have to win at every game. And if you don't win, you know, you really haven't totally lost. Is what I was trying, the point I was trying to get to the long way around the barn.
That's a great point. I mean, and I love the fact that you illustrated us for it, you know, for us, because now we will remember it. it'll actually stick and we'll learn because it's a real life lesson. That's so important.
That was real, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do want to throw this out here for mentees. If someone is kind enough to take an interest in you and mentor you and care about you in any way,
yeah.
Be polite.
Absolutely.
Show up on time, you know.
Absolutely.
Answer the phone. Be respectful. Write thank you notes. Don't waste their time. Don't make them regret you. Be a person.
Beautiful.
And then here's the wonderful circle that it's all in. When someone has given of their time, which is the most precious thing on earth because you can't get that back, to mentor you, then you know that you have to mentor others.
How about that? I love that. I love that, doctor. I love that.
Very important. Absolutely. Well, as we close today, I want to make sure that you, if there's anything else you want us to know, you share it with us now.
Let's see. If anything else I want you to know. Well, I think I want you to know that the programs like this, and I've always enjoyed doing this with you.
Oh, good.
Program a couple of times, allow us to talk about things in an open, safe place. And I think there needs to be more of these type programs. I'm always looking for forums where I can speak or talk, especially with young people, to kind of share what I've learned over the years for those that are open to hearing it. And so if anything, I'd like to say to the public out there, look for someone, each one teach one, each one help one where you can. You know, you might not be able to save the world, but if you can save one or two or help a couple that are nearby you, you've done a good part. You know, I had some friends of mine that will drive, they'll drive all the way to prison ministry. And I respect that, but I remind them every now and then, I'm like, you just driven past so many people right here in your community that could use that same help. So I just try to encourage them to maybe not drive so far, because there's people around all of us that need assistance. And then even ourselves, there are times when we still all need assistance. So look out for each other, and I think we'll be in a better society, and much better than letting the robots and the technology take care of us, because as long as I've been working with computers and circuits and all those type of things, I've yet to meet any that have any emotion or love for me. You know, when
right.
I put the wire in the right place, it works. If I don't put them in the right place, it doesn't work, and it's a great thing when it works, but at the end of the day, what's valuable out of it is if I've solved a problem for someone, you know, family member, friend, customer, that's what matters. And I see that in young people today. I'd like to say to the society right now, these young people that are struggling out here today don't really have a lot of meaningful work. And meaningful work can be anything. I think if you're the French fly flipper, you need to do that with pride and get it done.
Yes.
And I'd also say to the corporations, you need to pay that individual because you need those French fries flipped. And,
right.
And you're making money, and maybe the corporate owners not be so greedy. It's probably going to take us in society to remind them the type of corporations that we want around us. So I would like to say this in closing is that we always are concerned about that vote that comes around when it's time for the election votes. But I think we need to all remember that there's a poll that's open every day and cannot be gerrymandered, and that's the dollars that we spend. And we need to be careful who and what we are voting for. So that would be what I would share.
Perfect. Oh, I have enjoyed this conversation so much. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Dr. Greenman. You know I always enjoy.
And thank you to all of our friends who listen. We know your time is precious, and we're blessed that you spend it with us. Thank you to our sponsors, to our donors, to the people who make this labor of love actually happen. I hope all of you are blessed in every way. I can't wait until our next visit. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I'll see you next time.
got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.